Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called Habits of Happiness. In this series, Pastor Rick dives into the book of Philippians and shows you how to develop the daily habits that will make you a happy person. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a brand new resource called the Habits of Happiness Guided Experience Book. This Bible study tool will help you develop the biblical skills you need to be happy no matter what circumstances you face. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or just text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Grow Healthy Relationships.
The longer you know someone, number one, the more you take them for granted. Isn't that true? The longer you know someone, the more you take them for granted. The more you focus on their faults, and the easier it is to remember bad times. I don't know why it is, but it's easier to remember bad times than it is happy times. Paul says, every time I think of you, I give thanks. If you would just develop this habit that whenever you think of the people in your life, your friends, your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your kids, your relatives, whatever, that the first thought is gratitude, it's going to change your relationship. Now, that's a habit you have to develop. It does not come natural. We are not by nature grateful people. We are by nature discontented people. We are by nature always wanting more, wanting things to be different. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says it again. I thank God. I thank God for the help that you gave me. Now, if you know the story of this church that he started there was a woman named Lydia who was a businesswoman who opened up her home. And he says, from the very first day, you welcomed us. And you helped us from the very first day. And then, as I said, several times in Paul's travels, the Philippian church was funding Paul's missionary journeys. And in this particular instance, they had sent a man named Epaphroditus all the way to Rome to bring him a financial gift, because Paul was in Rome by himself in prison. And Epaphroditus had nearly died on the way. We'll get to that later in the book. And now Paul is sending him back with this thank you note to the people in Philippi. And he says, I thank God for the help you gave me. I just wonder, what is it that you have forgotten that other people have done for you? Again, the longer you know someone, the more you take them for granted, the more you look for their faults, and the more it's easier to remember the bad things than the good things. See, the truth is about Paul in Philippi, he didn't have a good time in Philippi. In fact, it was one of his roughest churches getting started. But you don't get any of that in this letter. The fact is, when Paul went to this city to start a church, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was humiliated, he was falsely arrested, he was thrown in a prison, he went through an earthquake, and then he was politely asked by the city leaders to leave town. When I thank God for you, I think of you, I thank God for you. What is he doing? He is choosing selective memory. This was not a happy place all the time. It wasn't all sunshine and lollipops and roses and rainbows and My Little Pony. It was a lot of bad stuff that happened. But Paul chose not to dwell on painful memories. Are you still living some painful memories with some people in your life? You've never let them off the hook. And you can't enjoy a relationship because you're still holding on to the past. Would you write this down? Memories are a choice. Memories are a choice. I remember hearing a story one time about two women talking, and one of the wives said to the other wife, said, don't you remember that time when your husband did da 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 da? And she said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's a choice. Your memories are a choice. Now, if you want to hold on to your painful memories, go right ahead, but you're not going to be happy. Paul had a lot of reasons to have painful memories in Philippi. It was not a happy time for everything that happened there. As I said, beaten, maligned, and all these things. But he says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. He's choosing to be grateful for the people in his life. Now, in this series, I'm going to give you what I call happiness hints. And I'm going to put a little HH next to the next to these happiness hints. And here's the first one I want to give you in the whole series. Remember the best and forget the rest. If you want to be happy, remember the best and forget the rest. Develop selective memory. By the way, September 21 is World Gratitude Day. Did you know that? It's World Gratitude Day, according to the United Nations. I want you to go home, make a list of the people in your life, and write down 5 or 10 things you can say, I'm really grateful for these things in their lives. It's the first habit. The attitude of gratitude will transform your relationship. If you're not grateful, you're going to have all kinds of complaining, worrying, all kinds of other things. I've got to be grateful for the people in my life. Number two, the second habit of happiness in relational happiness is this. I need to not only be grateful for the people in my life, I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. I need to pray joyfully. I need to pray with joy for the people in my life. Now, Paul is praying, as we just read this passage, praying for these people. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul praying for you? You think that would help? The guy who wrote much of the New Testament? Wouldn't you like, don't you know those Philippians thought, hey, this is pretty cool. Paul is praying for us. Doesn't it encourage you to know when somebody is praying for you? Yes. Yes, it does. It encourages you. In fact, the thing that keeps me going is your prayers. And when people say, I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick, I take that serious because it's what I move on. It is that power that I move on. Paul says in verse 4, he says this, I always pray for you. Now, that's part of it, but notice the rest of the verse. And I make my request, when he's praying for you, he says, with a heart full of joy. Now, I want you to just a minute, think of somebody who irritates you. Don't look at them, just think of them. Okay? Maybe somebody you've got a strained relationship with, or they just kind of rub you the wrong way. I have two questions for you. Number one, do you pray for them? Okay, do you pray for it? Or do you just complain and grumble and nag and nitpick? If you prayed more, you'd have a lot less to grumble, complain, nag, and nitpick about. So you can decide, does nagging work? No. Does prayer work? Yes. So why do you do more of the thing that doesn't work than does? Paul says, I pray for you. And you need to pray for the people in your life. But then he says, I pray for you, making requests with a heart full of joy. When you do you pray with joy? Now, let me give you a little secret here. There are things in people's lives around you you'd like to change. You don't want to change yourself. You want them to change. If she would just do this, if she would just do that, if he would just do this. And we always want to change other people. You can't. You can't change anybody. You cannot change anybody. They can only change themselves, and you can only change yourself. So all of that trying to change your change program doesn't work. But you can pray, and God can change people. You might write this down. Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking. You know, people read all these books about positive thinking. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure I'd rather have you thinking positively than negatively. But all the positive thinking in the world isn't going to change your husband or your wife or your child or your friend or your situation. Positive thinking is not enough. Positive thinking can change you, but it can't change somebody else. But positive prayer can. So positive prayer is more powerful than positive thinking. So I want you to write this down. Here's my little happiness hint. The quickest way to change a bad relationship to a good one, the quickest way, start praying for them. Start praying for them. It'll change you, and it can change them. Start praying for them. You say, well, what do I pray? Well, I would encourage you to pray what Paul prayed. And in verses 9 to 11, we have what Paul prayed. Here's what he says. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What does he say? Four things you can pray. Write these down. Four things. Pray, and I would say pray these for your kids. Pray these for your friends. Pray these for your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Pray these for your boss. Pray these for me. Anybody you care about. Pray with joy for the people in your life. And you pray these four things. First, pray they will grow in love. Pray that they will grow in love. Paul says that your love will grow more and more. Number two, he says, pray that they will make wise choices. Pray that the people in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbor, pray that they will make wise choices. Verse 9 and 10 says that you will know and fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Third thing to pray for the people in your life, pray they will live with integrity. Pray that they will live with integrity. Paul says, I pray that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. And the fourth thing to pray is pray that they will become like Jesus. Parents, there's your prayer agenda right there. Husbands, wives, friends, there's your prayer agenda right there. Pray that they will become like Christ. Verse 11, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Circle the word fruit. What fruit's he talking about there? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
If you are enjoying learning about the habits of happiness and want to go deeper into this study with Pastor Rick, I have some great news for you. Pastor Rick's brand new Habits of Happiness guided experience book is available to you right now. In this guided experience, you will learn the biblical habits of happiness and begin seeing things from God's perspective. This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, and application exercises. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you grow spiritually. The Habits of Happiness guided experience is available only through Daily Hope, and quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004, that's 800-600-5004, to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or visit PastorRick.com, that's PastorRick.com, with two R's in the middle. And remember, when you sign up for convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Did you know that you were made for a mission? God gave you unique talents, unique abilities, unique experiences so that you can help other people in your personal life mission. If you want to learn how to share the hope of Jesus Christ while tackling some of the biggest needs in today's society, I want to invite you to join me at our very first Made for Mission Conference. Conference is going to be held October 1 to 3 here at Saddleback Church at our Lake Forest, California campus. And at this conference, I'm going to help you figure out what God shaped you to do and discover your personal life mission. You're going to walk away with real skills to start making an impact with your life wherever you live. Now, if you'd like to get information on this conference, go to madeformission.church. That's madeformission.church, and you'll find all the information you need about this exciting conference. I'll see you there.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
Third thing to pray for the people in your life, pray they will live with integrity. Pray that they will live with integrity. Paul says, I pray that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. And the fourth thing to pray is pray that they will become like Jesus. Parents, there's your prayer agenda right there. Husbands, wives, friends, there's your prayer agenda right there. Pray that they will become like Christ. Verse 11, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Circle the word fruit. What fruit's he talking about there? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. What is that? It's a perfect picture of Jesus. Now, these four things, you can pray them for me any day of the week. Pray that I will grow in love. Pray that I will make wise choices. Pray that I will live with integrity. Pray that I will become more and more like Jesus. You can pray these for yourself. You can pray these for your spouse. And you know what? You can know they will be answered. Why? Because they're in the Bible. This is not a prayer, you go, if it's your will, God. This is God's will. It's in the Bible. So you know God wants to answer that prayer. So the first thing I do, I have to be grateful for the people in my life. And second, I have to pray and actually pray joyfully. Not with complaining, not with criticism, like, oh God, why can't you get this man and mine in shape? That's not praying joyfully. That's praying whinily, crankily. No, pray joyfully. And here's what you pray. Number three, here's the third habit, Paul says, and it's in the next verse. I must expect the best from people in my life. I must expect the best. Now, these things are so simple for me to teach you, but they are so hard to turn into habits. We don't normally expect the best from the people around us. We expect the worst. We expect them to let us down because we have a track record. Now, he's saying you want to make a habit of believing in people rather than criticizing them. Expect the best. Philippians 1 and verse 6 is the next verse. He says this, I am confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, circle the word confident. I am confident of this, that God who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm expecting the best from the people in my life. Now, Paul is a pro at bringing out the best in people. And I want to teach you how to do it right now. There are three things that you do to bring out the best in people. And Paul does all three of them in this verse. He says, here's how I bring out the best in people. Number one, just write this down, he believed in people. He believed in people. He says, I am confident. And he gave them confidence. Do you give the people in your life confidence or do you tear them down? Do you build them up or do you tear them down? Do you give the people in your life confidence? In the last series, I gave you an illustration about what a good parent does when a child stumbles. Do you remember I said, if a child is running a race and you're at the track watching them run a race at school, and all of a sudden they really mess up and they stumble and they fall flat on their face and they embarrass themselves and you're in the stand as a parent, what do? You don't get up and say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm leaving. You know, how pathetic you are. A bad parent would do that. But what does a good parent do? A good parent stands up and yells even more, you can do this. Get up, I believe in you. I know you can do it. Come on, get up. I know you can. This is just a minor thing. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anybody else. Just keep on running. That's what God does with you when you stumble. It's what God wants you to do with people in your life when they stumble. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Paul says, I believe in people. I give them confidence. I help them grow. I am confident that what God has started in your life, he's going to continue to do. You see, we all need people to believe in us because it's how we change. You can't change unless somebody believes in you and you believe in yourself. acceptance always precedes transformation. That's why I always say, you know, don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Sometimes, you know, I train pastors in preaching. And sometimes pastors say, well, I just tell it like it is. I say, well, okay, but that doesn't change anybody. Tell it like it could be is preaching for faith. I could get up here and say, you know, you're all not doing a good job. And I could tell you all the areas you're not doing a good job in. And what would it do? Just make you defensive. It wouldn't change you one bit. And next week you go, oh, let's go back and have Rick whip us some more. Some people actually are spiritual masochists. Oh, pastor, that's such a great sermon. It made me feel so bad. I'm going, what? No, that's not it. Nobody changes by nagging. Doesn't happen in the pulpit or anywhere else. So don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. If I help draw a picture, say, this is what you could become. This is what you could be with God's power in your life. Then you get excited. Paul says, I'm confident. I believe in you. The second thing he did is he gave people vision. And the vision was, you're going to keep growing. God's not going to, what God starts, he finishes. He's not going to leave you halfway out there. He gave people vision. He painted a picture of the future. Now, why is that important? Because study after study after study shows that we tend to live up to the expectations of other people. When people expect the best of you, you tend to do better. When teachers expect the best of their students, they always perform better than teachers who don't expect the best from their students. That has been proven over and over again in studies. That we tend to become what we believe the most important people in our lives think about us. So Paul says, I expect the best from people. I believe in people. I give people vision. And the third thing, this is really important. You write this down from this verse. He was patient with people's progress. I am confident that what God's began in you, he's going to keep on and he's going to carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He was patient with people's progress. Now, why is that so important to your happiness? I'll tell you why. If you insist on perfection in people, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Because there's nobody perfect.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. If you're enjoying learning about the habits of happiness and want to go deeper in this study with Pastor Rick, I have some great news for you. Pastor Rick's brand new Habits of Happiness Guided Experience book is available to you right now. Here's Rick to tell you more.
If you'd like to learn more about the habits of happiness, I've got a new resource to help you. It's called the Habits of Happiness Guided Experience Book. I'm very excited about this new tool that we're offering to you. In this resource, you're going to learn how seeing things from God's perspective will help you develop the biblical habits of happiness. And you're going to discover how happiness runs deeper than any circumstance or any feeling or any relationship. Now, I'm excited because this book is filled with biblical truth, practical lessons, application exercises, and a lot of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. It's a really powerful workbook, and it's a comprehensive study tool I believe is going to help you grow to your next level of spiritual maturity.
This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, and application exercises. The Habits of Happiness Guided Experience is available only through Daily Hope, and quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.